Turn with me to Deuteronomy 1, if you would, first chapter of Deuteronomy. And tonight we are having a prayer time from 7 to 8 o'clock. Perhaps it'll go longer than that, but we're planning for 7 to 8. And we've invited Woodmont Bible Church, the church that owns this building, and meets Sunday with Pastor Lyndon Allen. And so we'll be joining in together, and I'm sure he'll be sharing something, I imagine, and I'll be sharing a little, little something on Tisha B'Av, what this day means in the Jewish calendar. But most of all, and we will have some worship, but most of all, we want it to be a prayer time, praying for our nation. As I said last week, how many want to see, as I'd like to just put it this way, how many want to see a God-fearing president in our country in the next election, and it won't happen apart from real intercessory prayer on our behalf. It really won't. No matter how godly a man is, he can't get in there if it's not through the prayers of God's people that, that God overcomes the evil one. And of course, we can be praying about for Israel, as we always do, for our country, for our military, and for Israel and the IDF. I have a beautiful prayer for the IDF. I actually want to put that up. That's the next slide. That's a prayer translated for the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. I think it's a great one to pray for our soldiers as well. And I'll just let you look over it. We're not going to say it right now, but we want to pray tonight. So I hope you'll come if you're able to come. Come back and join us in that joint service with Woodmont Bible Church for prayer for our nation. Next few slides, you can show, Miranda, if you would. Yeah, there's Tisha B'Av. Let's say Beit HaMikdash. Beit HaMikdash, rather. Beit HaMikdash. Yeah, thank you, David. That's the Holy Temple. That's the picture. I'm hoping maybe even tonight, we can, I don't know how to do it with chairs, but sit on the floor where we could. I wish that's what you do, take off your shoes. We'll dim down the lights. And so hopefully those helping will make that happen tonight. But that's a scene, of course, at the Kotel, the Western Wall. Prayers for the future. Get that mosque out of there. Get that and put God's temple there. Okay. And so praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Miranda. All right. So we're in Deuteronomy 1, right there where we were. That was fine. There we go. And let's read it. Moses is reviewing for the next generation their history of the Exodus, the revelation at Sinai, and rebellion in the desert. So he's reviewing, which Deuteronomy, Devarim, is really a review in many respects. So one of the terms, Deuteronomy, means second law in one of the languages, and how they ended up at this present moment where they are, and what should have taken 11 days journey due to their rebellion took 38 years, 8 months, and 20 days. And that we get that from Josh, are you fluctuating with this, or is it me sounding? Got it? Okay, it's a little. All right. It is 11 days, verse 2, journey from Horeb, which is the Deuteronomy term for Sinai, by the way, by the same mountain, as we understand it, by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. And so next slide, we see it's about the distance, from what I understand, of Nashville to Chattanooga. And so if we were going to about 160, 170 miles, so actually we're going to experiment with that. We're going to, next week, take a walk down to Chattanooga and see how long. It should take us about 50 hours. We'll all get in good shape. Say it would be 11 hours by camel. I don't know. All I've done is gotten up on a camel. Now, Jeff, Owen's son, actually rode several hours on a camel, and he can tell you about that. He'll be here. He's for Yeladim Sabab if somebody gets to see him. But anyway, after a year at Horeb, according to Numbers 10:11, the Lord commands them to leave. He says it's time to enter the land and possess it. And so that's why verse 6 of chapter 1 says, Adonai, our God, spoke to us at Horeb, saying, you've stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn, journey on, and enter the hill country. So you've dwelt long enough. You've stayed long enough here. It's time to get to turn. It's time to move on. It's time to go. And the word turn, as I have all the definitions, the roots up there, let's say pana, means to turn to and focus attention, to change your direction. It means to ready for a purpose. And then he says, turn and travel, nasa, let's say the word nasa, means to move to a more appropriate place. And then bo, let's say bo, which means come. Yeah, bo, come. Come to the place where one belongs. This is what the Lord's telling them. Now, Mount Seir is a mountain range on the border of Edom, south of the Dead Sea. They circled it many times. Chapter 2, look at this verse. 38 years later, after circling many times, they are back at Seir again, bordering the promised land. And so look at the verse 3 of chapter 2. Adonai spoke to me, saying, you have gone around, you've circled this hill country long enough. Turn to the north. Turn to the north. Again, the root pana. Let's say pana again. Pana, that word meaning to turn to and focus attention. Change your direction. Get ready for a purpose. And turn north. Tsafona. Let's say tsafona. All right, north, it means it's the hidden, means hidden or a protected place. And that, yeah, I have that, that's in a slide there, slide 17, I think, there, Miranda. There we go, you got it, she's got it. All right, so let's say tsafon. Tsafon is the root there. Yeah, north, the hidden, the protective place. All right, so this is what the Lord says. He says, stop sitting. Stop circling. It's time to turn and go forward. Now, if you're sitting, that's being inactive. That's a lack of movement. If you're circling, that's futile movement, meaningless movement, futile activity. It's pointless what you're doing. The words, the roots there, shavat for sitting, shavat. Let's say that one, shavat. And sabav, circle, means to turn, to rotate, to revolve. I picture revolving door. Picture, you know, when you have the option of a revolving door, and if you, you know, when you're kids, you love to get in those revolving door and just keep going around and around, you know, you don't want to get out, you know, just having fun with it. But you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. And the word Shabbat, really the root means to stop work. That's why we say Shabbat, right? Stop work, curtail activity before completion. But the whole idea with both of these points that the Lord is making to his people is, you're stuck. You're stuck. And we can be stuck in a mindset. We can be lukewarm. We can be fixated and focused on the wrong thing. Focused on formulas, on issues, on the same old theories again and again. Predictions again and again, rather than being on fire for Yeshua and bringing people to know him. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, where we read in the reading earlier. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, who are those cloud of witnesses that he's talking about? Chapter 11, right? The heroes, the hall of faith. Heroes, as some call them, all these men and women who were following the Lord and were willing to give their life. They says, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so many of them martyrs. Let us also get rid of every weight and entangling sin. Let us run with endurance. Don't quit. Toughen up. Run. Don't quit. Don't give up. The race set before us, focusing on issues. Oh, did I get that wrong? What are we to focus on? Yeshua. Let's say it. Yeshua. Focusing on Yeshua. Looking to Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter. He's the author and finisher, the initiator and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Some could also, the Greek could also read, instead of the joy, in I like both translations, instead of the joy then present with him, in other words, leaving heaven where he had a perfect environment, and had instead of that, he came and endured the cross. He sacrificed all. Disregarding the shame, and what happened? He has taken his seat, where right now? At the right hand of the throne. Wow, that's where he is right now. And of course, you know, he's sitting. The work is done. John 19:30. Tetelestai, the Greek word. It is done. It is complete. Finished. He's sitting. The work is complete. The high priest is Kohen HaGadol. He's seated. The work is done. He's at the right hand of God until his enemies be made his footstool, of course, he'll return and take charge of his kingdom, of the whole planet, all one day. And one day soon, we believe. Consider him, then he says, consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners. Do we expect anything different? Should we expect anything different? If we're not experiencing some hostility, maybe we're not shining bright enough. By sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary in your souls and lose heart. Don't lose heart. In struggling against sin, you have not yet, I like the way they put it as a whole new sentence. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of bloodshed. How many here have experienced bloodshed for their stand for the Lord here? I mean, do you know that there's a sizable segment of the believing community worldwide that does, that are paying a price for their faith? And yet he's saying that to these believers, to these Jewish believers in this case, but we can say it for all of us, we haven't yet in this country, but we will. We will. Many believe we will. This is irritating. We will. Don Finto, I haven't read his book yet, Prepare, but I'm sure it's along those lines. Look at Amos 5. Turn with me to Amos 5 then. Amos 5, verses 4 and 5. Amos 5, verse 4. For thus says Adonai to the house of Israel. I'll give you another 3 seconds to get there. For thus says Adonai to the house of Israel. Seek, who do we seek? Seek me. Let's say it. Seek me and live. Let's say it again. Seek me and dirshuni v'chiyu. Seek me and you'll have life. Seek me. Wait, what are we to seek? Who are we to seek? The Lord. But do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Gilgal in Joshua 5, Bethel in Genesis 28. Don't go, those were great things. They were great experiences. Don't go, do not cross over to Beersheba, for Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will come to trouble. Verse 6, seek Adonai. Let's say it. Seek Adonai and live. You see? Don't seek past experiences. That's not where you'll find life. That's not what will be your answer. Well, I love this verse. I haven't quoted it in a good while. Ecclesiastes, or Kehelet 7:10, says, do not say, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. If I'm fine, I'm looking always back, and I don't mean there's a place to looking back. It's healthy, of course, to look back in history. But if you find you're dwelling on, the good old days, it used to be, that means right now there's something missing that shouldn't be, because God is now with me, and he wants to be active now in through me and in my life. So he says, seek me. Don't seek those experiences. Don't seek those older past places. Seek me and live. Now, you have what I call Christian sensationalism news. Too much time, people have too much time to dwell on speculative, sensationalist headlines because they're not busy with evangelism, seeking and saving the lost. Show me a person who is bringing people to know the Lord, and I'll show you a person who isn't focused on sensationalist headlines, and vice versa. Show me a person who's focused. Okay. Do I need to say it again? What is heaven's focus? Luke 15:10, Yeshua said this, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over what? Over one sinner who repents. One person who returns, Lord, the angels are dancing, rejoicing, celebrating. Luke 19:10, Yeshua said, for the Son of Man came. Now, if this is why he came, this is the whole reason he came, then it better be my reason for still remaining here, for being here on this planet. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Wow. And now I'm going to read an excerpt from Don Finto's book, which someone gave me, the first chapter in this new book, Prepare. He says, recently in Nashville, word spread through the Christian community that two strategic films were being previewed at one of our local theaters. The films were to give helpful behind-the-scenes depictions of world events. I made my plans to attend. On the night of the showing, the small theater was packed to capacity with representatives from the believing community, many of them friends of mine from a variety of congregations across the city. An air of anticipation filled the room as we settled in for the evening. Not long into the showing of the first film, I began to feel a certain discomfort. Everything being communicated seemed to be true, but, as he calls it, the God factor was missing. The film was a well-documented account of enemy activity and of plans for world domination, including the frightening inroads currently being made into our own nation. And these are things that we need to, I certainly agree. If you check my, we certainly believe we need to be aware, but I'm not going to get off track. All right. Earlier in the day, I had been reading of the unprecedented godly underground awakening in the very nations that were being described in the film. Yet nothing of those revivals was being reported. By the time the first film concluded and the host came to the podium to introduce the second film, my uneasiness had increased. I don't recall his exact words, but I know what he seemed to be saying. Quote, over 50 years ago, Nazism threatened the entire world, but we defeated it. Then the dread of communism was upon us, but that too has fallen. Now we are faced with an even more insidious enemy. Radical Islam is encroaching on our communities, our schools, and our government. If this evil is not defeated, he's quoting the speaker, our country will become engulfed in a sea of mass terrorism. Unquote. As the second film began, I discreetly made my way to the exit. I had been listening to the report of the 10 spies. Why was there no mention of the God factor, the great advances for the gospel that were being made in the midst of the darkness? Where were the voices of Caleb and Joshua? In retrospect, Don Finto says, I should have been one of those voices. I could have encouraged people to stay strong no matter what the future holds. Hello. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17, and then I'll comment what I want to say about it. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 7. Cursed is the one, thus says the Lord, cursed is the one who trusts in man and depends on flesh as his arm, and whose heart turns from Adonai. For he will be like a bush in the desert. He cannot see good when it comes, but he will dwell in parched places. He can't see the good when it comes, but dwell in parched places in the wilderness, a salt land where no one lives. Blessed is the one who trusts in Adonai, whose confidence is in Adonai. For he will be like a tree planted by the waters, spreading out its roots by a stream. It has no fear when heat comes. And that word could be translated either it has no fear or it doesn't even see when the heat comes. Doesn't even see it. But its leaves will be green. It does not worry in a year of drought, nor depart from yielding fruit. Hide those words in your heart, friends. Hide them in your heart. I want to be one, and I know you do too, who is known by God for bringing light into the dark places, for bringing hope to those in despair, salvation to those in bondage. Don't you? It's easy to gain a following if you're against something or even for something. Example, Donald Trump. But we want to be known by not what we say, but what we do to bring life and deliverance. Listen to this verse. Never quoted it before in this context. 1 Corinthians 12:31, Paul saying, talking about this gift, spiritual gifts, says, desire the greater gifts, and still I show you a far better way. I show you a far better way. And we know what he goes into, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For example, are we against Islamic extremism and the agenda? Absolutely. Absolutely we are. We're aware of it. And we need to be aware of it. We need to know what's going on. We need to be active where God leads us in our government to oppose that agenda. But better, ready? Better. How about ministries that are bringing the gospel to Muslims? I saw one called Send International. I was looking at, and they even have a thing, an I Love Muslims thing, like I Heart Muslims series that you can learn how to bring Muslims to the Lord, or another group called Global Initiative, reaching thousands, millions of Muslims that don't know really even probably what their religion teaches for the most part. I'm not talking about the radical extremists. I'm talking about many people in our own city that have never heard of Yeshua and never seen someone, a believer, that can probably live it before them. We're against abortion on demand, and we are pro-life people, absolutely. But better, how about helping and learning from those providing alternatives? I spoke about this last week, alternatives and healing if you've had one, and help to not have one because there's alternatives. For example, I know Teresa's been a supporter many years, and I don't mean to single you out, Teresa, but Mercy Ministries, a great ministry, helping young women find freedom from sexual abuse, eating disorders, cutting addictions, unplanned pregnancy, sex trafficking, and more. How about another ministry, Living Hope Ministries, providing support groups for men, women, families, and friends impacted by same-sex attraction? So we have our stands, but we know where we stand on issues, but we better be about being part of the solution and helping people come out of these bondages and out of these and offering them hope, right? And if they have been victims, listen, who have you brought? I'm sorry, but I got to challenge you, and I speak to myself too at the same time. Who have I brought to the Lord in the last month? How about in the last year? Who are you bringing the gospel to right now? Those trapped in the categories of sin which you oppose? Hello? Who have you reached out to in friendship? Can you say you have friends that are in these categories of sin, categories that you oppose? Can you say, well, I have friends? Because I'll tell you, if you do, you'll have a different feel on it. You'll have a different take on it. You'll see them as people, not as issues only, but you'll see them as people. But the reality is, most believers that are they don't have any relations because they can't. No one's going to get near you and come to the Lord because of the way my attitude. I'm not talking about compromising sin. I'm not talking about, we believe the Bible. The Bible's the word of God. But I'm talking about, Yeshua said, I show you a better way. What would, and if someone said, what would Yeshua do? Really, picture. I see what he took issue with was religious hypocrisy. The thing that angered him, was the hypocrisy of religion. That's what we see in the scriptures, turning over the money changer tables and getting angry at the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, because of how they were distorting God to the people. But he was there for sinners. He came for sinners. He came to bring them to know, to bring them to life. He returned in the power of the Spirit when he began his ministry, Luke 4:14-19, and he came to Nazareth, as was his custom. He went into the synagogue, to shul, and on Shabbat he got up to read, and when the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, he unrolled the scroll, like we did here this morning, and found the place where it was written, and he's reading from Yeshayahu, what would be today chapter 61, the beginning, the Ruach Adonai, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of Adonai's favor. This is a saying attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi. They say maybe he didn't write it. He was a Franciscan friar around AD 1200, but this is a great statement. This should be our heart. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we're born to eternal life. He was a man, Francis of Assisi, from what I read, is who wholeheartedly answered Yeshua's call to follow him. His life had three essential elements: loving Yeshua above all else, living the gospel completely, and preaching the gospel by his words and life. Sounds like Caleb, if you look in the parasha today, Deuteronomy 1:36, you don't have to turn there, but if you're already there, it's just one verse, verse 36. God singles out Caleb, and he says, not one of these men of this evil generation will see the good land that I swore to give your fathers, when they didn't believe the report, the God's word, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He will see it. And we know Joshua also is mentioned down further. Yet to him and his children I will give the land that he has walked on, because he has followed Adonai wholeheartedly. Boy, don't you want the Lord to be able to say that about you and me? She has followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Hebrew is, I think I may have it. Let's see, do I have a slide of it? Where are my slides? Maybe not. I probably didn't put it in here. I didn't. So it's in Hebrew, it is all encompassingly. The Hebrew, it's acharei, like afterwards, and male acharei, to follow, to be filled with. You could translate it, he's filled, fully followed the Lord, filled with following the Lord. Wow, isn't that amazing? Filled with following the Lord. All-encompassingly, right behind Yeshua, right behind him, focused on Yeshua and what he's focused on. I'll tell you, you know, if I would say, are there examples right in our midst that we could point out that are like that? You know who I hate to single out anyone, but, and I think it's not even, but Mary Harvey and Owen. I don't think anyone would question. They're just poured out for the Lord. They're just focused on Yeshua, always giving, ministering out to others, you know. And I know there's many others that are like that here. So, and I know Mary Harvey asked, could you mention us this morning in your sermon? Because I really like the light on shining on us, and, you know, that you would just. So I said, all right, I'll try to include it in. She's turning like three different color shades of red right now. Of course, she would never want me to say it. All right, I'll close with this. From the Voice of the Martyrs persecution blog, this beautiful story. I've told it before, but I love it. A man named Floria. Our Lord commanded us, this is what was said to him, our Lord commanded us to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This is in communist prison, being tortured. And he told the prison guards that, I can't work on this day, on Shabbat. The Romanian prisoners were forced to labor every day, but each Sabbath, Floria refused. For his refusal, the guards routinely beat him so bad he lost the use of his arms and legs. He could only move his head. Because he could no longer labor, Floria was forced to sit in his cell all day long. He had to rely on other prisoners to even feed him with a little bit of piece of bread or whatever they get once a day. In spite of his situation, Floria was not downcast. When other prisoners would complain about the situation and how bad it is, Floria would encourage them. He'd say, if the outlook is bad, try the uplook. And he said, when Stephen was stoned, he looked up and saw Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. Look up, he said. So, Lord, we pray today that we would be looking up to you, looking to Yeshua, focused on him, the author, the finisher, the initiator, and perfecter of our faith. Father, help us to be about what you're about, bringing people to know you. Seek me and live, the Lord said. Seek me. Don't be fixated on issues first and foremost. I'm not saying you don't have it. God may lead you to focus on it, of course, an issue because you're called, you know, to take activity. But be focused on the most important thing first, the Lord, and he came to seek and save those who are lost, who he came for. Lord, give us a heart of 1 Corinthians 13. Forgive us. And it starts with repentance. Forgive us where we've had something else supplant that. Are you big enough to admit that? Are you big enough, or are you too stuck in your way that you can't even admit that? We get off track, Lord. We're stop staying and stop circling. Maybe we've been stuck and sitting rather than going forward, turning, Lord, and going forward. Maybe we've been circling, just revolving in that door. And we don't see people coming to the Lord. We don't see people coming to the Lord. There's a reason why. I just told you. Lord, help us. And I include myself just as much, Lord. We're in the buckle in the Bible. We're great. We love Nashville. We're thankful. I am thankful that I live here. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. But, oh, God, make us a people of mission. Make us a people of those that reach the people around us, Lord. And not only around us, but then in other places of the world as we do these future mission trips. Thank you, Lord. If you've never trusted